I want to invite you to take your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Can we stand, go to a book that was written 700 years before Christ, the book of Isaiah? Now I want to call your attention to verse 29, Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to call your attention to verse 29. This is what the scripture says. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to take a few minutes, and I want to talk to you about overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. I was reading about a guy that got into the transport business. What he had was he had a truck, and people would hire him to haul things, and he would transport things from one place to another. And he got a job hauling chickens. And he had the chickens in the truck, and he would drive a mile, and he would stop on the side of the road. He would get out, he'd take a bat and hit the side of the truck. And then he'd drive another mile, and he'd stop, he'd take a bat, and he'd hit the side of the truck. And a guy followed him for about 5 miles and watched him do that, and when he stopped, the guy stopped, and he said, "Friend, that's just driving me crazy. Why would you drive a mile, get out, take a bat, hit the side of the truck?" He said, "Well, let me explain." He said, "This truck is a half a ton truck." And he said, "I'm hauling a ton of chickens. So I've got to keep half of them in the air at all times." Well, the bottom line was, he didn't have a big enough truck. And sometimes, folks, I feel like that truck. Sometimes I feel like that I'm a half a ton truck, but I'm hauling a ton of chickens. And you know, apparently a lot of other people feel that way also. I read this week that 89% of Americans suffer from chronic stress disorder. 89% of Americans, that's 9 out of 10. I also read this week that 75 to 90% of physical problems, when we go to the doctor, you know, we go to the doctor, eel, peel, and bill. We go to the doctor, and we have these physical problems. But 75 to 90% of the physical problems that we all have are stress-induced. They're caused by stress. We don't get ulcers from what we eat. We get ulcers from what's eating us. We get ulcers from when we're overwhelmed. Now, what is stress? Here's what stress is. Stress is the gap between the demands placed on us and our ability to meet those demands. According to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 and 8, when a person is stressed out, they're more vulnerable, they're more susceptible. When you're weary, you're more susceptible to the devil's attacks. Many times the devil will hit you when you're tired. Many times he'll hit you when you're weary. Many times when you're stressed. Do you ever notice when you're stressed, it seems like you have more arguments in the family than any other time? Don't know about drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. It's just when we get overwhelmed. I'll tell you, I really believe. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I have a fulfilled life. My life's very fulfilled. I'm fulfilled. But also, I have a filled full life. I have a filled full life. I think sometimes my theme song could be that Alabama song. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush. Your life's no fun. But when all you got to do is live and die, and I'm in a hurry, and sometimes I don't know why. I think sometimes, folks, we feel like, you know, I love history. I love presidential history. One of my bucket list things I want to do is I want to go to every presidential library You say, so you want to go to the Republican presidential libraries and you want to go to the Democrat presidential libraries. You want to go to everyone. This is what I've learned, folks. If you put them all in a bag and shake them up, they're not that much different. One time, Barbara and I went to a cemetery, and it was on the epitaph there. An honest man and a politician. And Barbara said, look, Benny, they buried two men there. Franklin Roosevelt was the only president who was elected for four terms. Just after he'd been elected for his fourth term, I don't know if you know this, but he died in Warm Springs, Georgia. Placed in a little White House. Now, he had a vice president by the name of Harry Truman that was from Missouri, who had been vice president, ladies and gentlemen, for 3 months. He had literally met with him two times. He didn't even know him. He was vice president for less than 3 months. And one day, Mrs. Roosevelt says, I need to see you, Harry. Little Harry Truman, little short guy from Missouri, walks in. And she said, Harry, the president is dead. And Harry Truman said to Eleanor Roosevelt, she made a great statement. Here's a great statement, and my mind's jumping. But Eleanor Roosevelt is the lady who said, the only person who can make you feel inferior is yourself. But Eleanor Roosevelt looked at Harry Truman. She said, he's dead. And Harry Truman looked at Eleanor Roosevelt and said, what can I do for you? She said, no, Harry. The question is not what you can do for me. The question is, what can I do for you? Because you're the one that's in deep trouble. The next day, Harry Truman met with Congress. And this is what Harry Truman said to the Congress. The very next day, this Missouri guy that they said didn't look presidential. He said, boys, if you ever pray, pray for me now. I don't know whether you fellas ever have had a load of hay fall on you, but when they told me yesterday that the president had died, I felt the moon, the stars, and the planets had fallen on me. Now, what do we do, folks, when we feel like the moon, the stars, and the planets have fallen on us? Because there are going to be times in life that we're going to be overwhelmed. And here's what hit my mind this week. Jesus Christ, nobody had on them, ladies and gentlemen, what was on Jesus Christ. The weight of the world was on Jesus Christ. You say, but Brother Benny, he was God. Yes, but he was also 100% man. How did Jesus Christ handle it? You know what? I thought about this. Jesus was never in a hurry. How did Jesus Christ handle it? I want to give you some words. The first word is identification. Identification. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Benny? Well, think about these verses. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said in John 10 and 11, I'm the good shepherd. Jesus said in John 10 and 36, I'm the Son of God. Jesus said in John 11 and 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus knew who he was. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who you are, somebody else is going to tell you who they think you are. You say, well, who am I? Well, if you know Christ, you're a child of the Most High God. If you know Christ, you're a child of the Most High God. And God's made you a unique person with a unique passion because he's created you for a unique purpose. You say, Pastor Benny, how can you deal with it when you're overwhelmed? You've got to realize who you are. I'm a child of the Most High God. See, the first thing that Jesus understood, he understood his identity, identification. And you got to understand who you are. But there's a second step, and it's dedication. Notice what he said in John 5 and 30. He said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. You know what I know, folks? There's not enough time in your life to do everything that people will want you to do. There's not enough time in your life to do everything that you want to do. But there is enough time in your life to do everything that God wants you to do. Jesus said, I've understood. I've got to be dedicated to what my Father wants me to do. Because when you don't know what God wants you to do, you're going to cave in. You're going to cave into criticism. See, till you reach the point that you know this is what God wants me to do, you'll cave into the criticism of others. When we're 20, we care what people think. When we're 40, we don't care what they think. And when we get 60, we realize they hadn't been thinking about us anyway. You've got to be dedicated to what God wants you to do with your life, because if you're not dedicated to what God wants you to do with your life, you're going to cave into criticism. When you're not dedicated to what God wants you to do with your life, not only are you going to cave into criticism, but you'll cave into competition. You'll get it in your mind, they're getting ahead of me. She's getting ahead of me. That business is getting ahead of me. I'm lagging behind. No, no, no. You're not lagging behind if you're doing what God wants you to do. How did Jesus deal with it when he was overwhelmed? Identification. Dedication. I won't camp here long, but I'll camp here a few moments. Organization. Organization. You know what would help tons of people? If they get organized. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not picking on people. But if they would get organized. Sometimes I get in people's vehicles. I go in their offices. I go in their homes. And gosh, Tarzan would get hurt in here. Now, I'm just preaching you the book. If you want the book, that's what I'm preaching to you. Jesus said, I'm going to feed 5,000. No, 5,000 men, folks. There wasn't 5,000. Get real. The Bible says 5,000 men. If you got 5,000 men, you got some women there somewhere. They was children. It was probably 20,000. What'd Jesus do? He said, now you get in a group of 50. You get in a group of 50. You get in a group of 50. He knew they had to get organized. Oh, don't tell me Jesus wasn't organized. John 20, when he was resurrected, before he was resurrected, John 20 said he had the grave clothes and he wrapped those and put them in one area. And then he had the wrapping around his head. He neatly folded it and put it by him, by itself, in another area. How'd you leave your bed this morning? Don't tell me it wasn't organized. I'm not going to camp here alone, but I'm just telling you, folks, you could relieve a lot of stress in a lot of people's lives if they just get organized. That's the book. Boy, the elbows are flying. Let me tell you the fourth thing. I've got to move. Delegation. Delegation. It's in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Now, wait. This is the most important thing in the world. Sharing the message. Sharing the gospel. But Jesus delegated it. See, folks, let me tell you something. If you accomplish anything in life, you've got to learn to delegate. You've got to learn. You've got to learn. But there's two reasons why we don't do it. Number one, perfectionism. Now, hey, think about this. Jesus is telling these guys, you go preach. Who do you think was a better preacher? These cats or Jesus? Well, Jesus was. Sure he was. But he still delegated to them, knowing they couldn't do it as good as he could. Jesus understood, if I'm really going to make a difference, I've got to delegate. You say, but Brother Manny, you don't understand my situation. The people I've got, I can't delegate to. Then you better get some new people. See, there's reasons why we don't delegate is perfectionism. They can't do it as good as me. You need to get some therapy. Don't call me. We do have a counseling department. My philosophy of counseling is admit it, quit it, and forget it. Don't call me. I'm a terrible counselor. I talk too much. If I was suicidal, I wouldn't see myself. Perfectionism. But there's a second reason why we don't delegate. Insecurity. What if they do it better than me? What if they do it better than me? There's a fifth thing that Jesus teaches us, and I've got to move, about when we're overwhelmed. I don't know that I've totally realized this one, but it's recreation. Recreation. In Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 31, Jesus told his disciples, he said, guys, if you don't go apart, you'll come apart. He said, you have to have some recreation in your life. It can't be all work, no play. There's got to be some recreation. Through the years, I'd be going through a tough time. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, I'll tell you what will help deal with your stress is golf. Years ago, the church bought me a set of golf clubs. Never will forget it. Bought me a set of golf clubs. Even paid a professional to work with me for 6 lessons. I worked with a pro. After 6 lessons, I said to the pro, what do you think? He said, I figured the problem. He said, I figured out your problem. I said, oh, sure, what is it? He said, you're standing too close to the ball after you hit it. Stan Daniel and I went golfing, trying to find that recreation. We golfing, come up to a lake, bust off, 6 balls right in the lake. Bam, 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 bam. I said, Stan, I've had it. Forget it. I'm tired. I just walked to the back of the golf cart, grabbed the bag, headed down to the lake, and threw it in the water. Started walking to the clubhouse, and I said, Stan, finish without me. Pick me up at the clubhouse. He said, I can't. You threw my clubs in the lake. Recreation, you got to find it, whatever it is. It's not golf. Number 7. Number 6. Meditation. Meditation. Let me tell you what Jesus did in Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, let me share something with you. How many of you believe tithing works? Raise your hand. I'll tell you it does. If you said, I'm going somewhere else to church. Listen, if you go to somewhere else to church, go to that church and tithe to that church. I'm just telling you, go to that church. If you say, I'm not a member of here. Well, go to that church and tithe to that church because God will bless you. I promise you that. You say, well, I promise you. See, what's amazing, God can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%. But God showed me something one time, folks. God said to me, if I can do that with your money, I can do that with your time. Let me tell you something, folks. If you'll give God time every day, you'll find you get more accomplished in your day. If you'll take time every day to read your Bible and pray, you'll find you get more accomplished. And if you just rush out and say, I don't have time to do it, I promise you, you'll get less accomplished. There's number 7. Number 7 is transformation. Transformation. Look what Isaiah 40, it tells us the problem of stress. In verse 29, it says, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might. It not only tells us the problem of stress, but it talks about the provision of stress. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew That word renew comes from the Hebrew word chaleth, which means exchange. Exchange. We can exchange our strength for God's strength. Now, how do we do that, Pastor? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Years ago, I preached a series on eagles. An eagle can fly at 50 miles per hour. But if an eagle gets in a storm, it can fly at 100 miles per hour because it gets the undercurrent of the wind. Acts 2:2 tells us the Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind. How you exchange your strength for God's strength is when we empty ourselves of ourselves and say, God, I need to be filled with your spirit. God, I need to be filled with your spirit. God, I need to be filled with your spirit. Folks, at 6 o'clock this morning, running a track, I was running and saying, God, I'm not sufficient within myself. I need your spirit. I need a fresh filling of your spirit this morning. I need a fresh touch of your power this very day. Yesterday's not sufficient. I need you today. Oh, there's the problem. There's the provision. But let me tell you something else. There's the promise of overcoming stress. There's the promise. I love what it says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Here's what I want you to understand. See, we think, folks, that waiting is this. I'm just waiting on God. I don't know what the Lord wants, but I'm just waiting on God. Nah, you're sitting on your blessed backside. I'm just waiting on God. I don't know what He wants me to do. I wish God would. That's not waiting, folks. That's not what that scripture means. It don't mean that. Here's what it means. But they that wait upon the Lord. It's talking about a wait. It's talking about a waiter. Do you want a waiter that's doing this? How can I help you? Or do you want a waitress that's doing this? I'm not giving a tip to this gal. They that wait upon God shall renew their strength. You say, Pastor Benny, how then do we wait on God? You long for Him. You long for Him. According to Psalm 62:5, you want Him more than you want anything else. While we were singing today, and we were singing about the presence of God, what I was saying to the Lord, God, I can't help these people. I don't have anything for these people. They need your presence. Only you can help these people, Lord. And when we wait upon Him, it's when we long for Him. But also, not only do we long for Him, but we listen to Him. It's in Proverbs 8:34. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me and watcheth daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. It symbolizes, Lord, I'm hoping you're going to come out of that gate and give me instruction. It's when you long for Him. It's when you listen for Him. It's when you look to Him. According to Psalms 104:27. And it's when you live for Him. According to Proverbs 27:18. Look what this verse says. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. He that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And just as a waiter or a waitress waits on the guest, That's how we wait on God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our musicians are playing. You say, Pastor, I'm here today and I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed because of situations in our family. I'm overwhelmed over my job. Brother Benny, do you know what it is for your wife to walk out? You know what it is for your husband to walk out? You know what it is, preacher, for somebody to say, I don't love you anymore? You know what it is to pray and yet you get the report of the doctor, it's not good? You know what it is, Brother Benny, to try to raise your children right, but they end up so wrong? Overwhelmed. Well, what advice do you give, Brother Benny, as a practitioner of the Word of God? This is the only advice I can give. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. It's the Lord that's going to... Let me tell you something, folks. You're not going to get through it without the Lord. Every difficult thing in my life, I've got through because of the Lord. I found Him faithful. I found Him caring. I've been so disappointed. So disappointed. You have too. Let me tell you something. The Lord will never let you down. He'll never let you down. He's that friend that sticks closer than the brother. You keep your eyes upon Him, not any man, not any individual. You look to the Lord. He's the one that will see you through. There's a verse I pray a lot. Psalm 66 and 12 says, we went through the fire and through the water, but the Lord brought us out. And the Lord's going to bring you out. You give it to the Lord, and God's going to see you through. He's going to see you through.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.